Blog Talk Radio.
Show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. First, I want to thank everybody, and I mean, I got a lot of, what do they call them? I used to call them emails, but I got some emails, but mostly they're called direct messages now, I guess. Remember, folks, I'm an old man. I'm trying to keep up with all this. But yes, everybody was wondering, you know, that we're okay and all this and that. We're in South Florida. Yes, we are. The storm took a turn and calm down, and, you know, we just got wind and rain. That's all we got. But it wasn't anything crazy like those poor people in the Bahamas, and I hope, you know, beyond hope that the majority of people there are, you know, that everybody's okay. I know there was some fatalities and whatnot, and that's terrible, and it's just, it's crazy. We didn't get anything like that. We've just got some. So it's very blustery and rainy in bands, and so that's what we're doing. Anyhow, today we're doing the show. We're back on track. I had to postpone two shows just to get the house ready and whatnot and move everything that was outside, inside. That was fun. But, you know, better safe than sorry. We're back on track. We've got a great show lined up today, and I just want to say, if I happen to disappear, one or two things have happened. Either the computer line has cut me off and I will be dialing right back in, so stay tuned. Or if nobody hears from me again, a tree's, you know, hit a power line or something and we're without power. It happens sometimes, but, you know, let's all think positive and cross our fingers and everything will be fine. I would like to welcome today, we've got a fantastic Philly soul folk singer-songwriter. I'm very inspired by his work. I just love it. Matulu, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I was so excited when the fine folks over at Miles High Productions sent over your the press kit and whatnot. And of course, I immediately went to YouTube and watched your video and listened to your music and whatnot. And I am just blown away by it. It's fantastic.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're out of Philadelphia, and how'd you get into music? Were you always, as a young man, were you always into music? Were you like the music guy, or is this what's the story? How did it all come about?
Well, I sort of got to it kind of late. I think I always knew mm-hmm. I could sing, you know, when I was younger, but it wasn't something I necessarily pursued. And then when I was in high school, I was in like a few theatrical productions, a few musicals. So then that kind of gave me my first connection to actually performing. But it really wasn't until college that I really started to like, you know, kind of, you know, I learned a few chords in high school, and right away I kind of had an affinity for writing songs. But it wasn't until I actually got into college that I really got serious about, you know, playing guitar, writing songs, and then gradually started playing open mic. And once I graduated, I just kind of hit the ground running with it and, you know, never really looked back. But I guess I came to it late, relatively speaking. You know, a lot of artists started at a very young age. I kind of got to it a little bit later.
I gotcha. Well, it's cool. And you mentioned, you know, that getting into it in high school, and I think that's a great point. And I want to let people know, so often, you know, in the times we live and whatnot, things will come around, and that's one of the first things they cut in school is music and arts.
Yeah.
And it just cuts kids off at the knees, you know? I mean, don't let that happen in your community, ladies and gentlemen. You know, kids need this, and it leads to bigger and better things.
No, absolutely.
It's,
amazing. Yeah, it's strange that that's always a first thing to go, because it's such a valuable, you know, whether or not kids like want to pursue music or not, it's a great thing. Like even from just an educational standpoint, it's a great outlet, you know, beyond just, you know, math and science.
Absolutely.
And social studies and all that, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's, I remember back when I was in high school, you know, I was a bad kid, man. If you don't want knuckleheads like me, give them something to do, terrorizing your neighborhood. Very true. Very true. I'll never forget. I lived in this little, you know, it was in the suburbs of Metro Detroit. But it was far enough that it was very suburban. And I went on a trip with a friend of mine and his family. We went to New York City for the first time via Philadelphia. Actually went through Philadelphia. And I saw graffiti. And all the graffiti in my neighborhood when I was a kid just was black spray paint. It said, you know, Van Halen rocks or Ozzy rules or something. It was very dull.
Right.
I went to New York and I saw graffiti and I was like, oh, this must happen back home. And it may or may not have happened. I can't admit to anything, but suddenly we had big murals.
You know, that's, you know, I don't know. That's artistry. I mean, there's like amazing graffiti and street art in Philly. I know that's a kind of a big part of the city, you know, so I don't look at that as a bad thing. Necessarily. That's like a creative outlet, you know?
I know. But, you know, not in somebody's garage door. No, I'm kidding. That
maybe not.
Anyhow, well, of course, cool. So you got into music and you're studying at college and whatnot, and Mudlu figured out that, you know, having guitar is a great way to meet girls, and I'm kidding. Now, it really is, though.
It's
but you got
it
into it,
help,
man. And the cool thing about that is it leads to, you know, heartbreak and all of that. Which, you know, is just great fodder for songwriting themes and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Everybody can relate to a love song. Or a love gone wrong song. Very, very cool. So you were into it. And then it got to a level, though. You started recording and going into studios and working with producers and that kind of stuff. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah. You know, it took... I guess my first connection to it, and still my greatest connection, is always performing live. But, you know, eventually you get out there and, you know, you start compiling some songs and recording. And I guess I've made a decent number of records over the years. That to me is like not always – it's like a love-hate thing. Like it's an important thing to pull the song together and get in the studio. But I don't always enjoy the studio process as much. Sometimes more a means to an end, you know. But more just a way to kind of like showcase the songs. But no, it's all part of it, you know, kind of the writing fuels the records and then getting out and having the records fuels touring. And so, you know, it's all part of it for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to have stuff on that merch table, you know, so it's part of it. Like I said, it's interesting because I'm not in the music business. I'm a painter by trade. That's what I do. I paint pictures of people. But all of my friends growing up, they were all musicians, and now into adulthood, they of course are either musicians or making movies, and just everybody I hang out with, that's what they're doing. So, but it's interesting to me because I'll talk to musician friends, and they exactly like you said, about half of them love studio work, and then the other half are like, oh, that's fine, but I like to play. That playing is a real drive. And it's cool to see someone from that background with that attitude, that viewpoint, when they do play, it's magical. You know, you can tell somebody who really likes playing live when you see it, and as opposed to somebody who doesn't.
Yeah, for me, that's like the part that's most connecting in a way because you know, when you're writing, I mean, writing can be collaborative and, you know, I write on my own, I co-write. So there's a connection there. And then you work, you know, the studio collaborative, but it's all, you're kind of insulated from everything until you put the music out there. And whereas performing is like, it's, you know, it's the most direct way to communicate what you're doing. And on the best nights, you know, that connection that can happen with the audience, that's, whether it's a small crowd or whether it's a bigger crowd, doesn't matter. There's that magic that happens, and it's also the most rewarding thing as far as the songs themselves, because you write songs, you know, from, you know, some songs I write from a more personal place, or it can be something cathartic, or it's just more just an, you know, sort of analysis of something, or just sort of my take on something. But once you get that music to people, then they kind of process it and take it in their own way, and especially, you know, occasionally certain tunes really, really resonate with people, and if it becomes meaningful to them in their lives, it's great. And, you know, they get that from the record, but when you play live, you can kind of see that in a more, experience that in a more, like, kind of visceral way, you know?
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all-natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. LapothecaryUnique.com.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Let me ask you, when you are writing collaboratively with I can't even talk today. When you are co-writing something and whatnot, have you ever like written something and then you're like, ooh, that's awesome, and I need that on my album, and but you're working with somebody else. I mean, does that ever happen? You know, where you're like, oh.
A lot of times, in my experience, like, it's kind of, you kind of know going into it what the context is. Like, if it's something that you brought in that you're writing for your record, you know, whoever, like, in my experience, at least, and I'm selective. There's a handful of people I've co-written with, but, you know, they know coming into it, they're working with you on, you know, your record, and then vice versa. I've done it the other way around where, you know, someone has a tune they're working on for a project and they want me to come in and help with it. And then I know going in that I'm going in there just purely from a co-writing
standpoint.
It's
going to be their baby.
Yeah. I think a lot of times that's kind of, it's kind of spelled out. Maybe it's better if it's spelled out because you want to have like parameters. You want to have a kind of a vision of what it is that you're trying to achieve. But it can be great. I mean, it can be tough sometimes, you know, Some situations you go in and it just doesn't click. But, you know, co-writing, when it really works well, can be really something special, because in the best situations, it might take the song to another level than you might have just had on your own. You know, someone, maybe you have a melody and a hook, but, you know, there's a few lyrics that aren't quite working, and someone comes in with some more interesting lyrics, or, you know, or maybe just a cool bridge idea, something like that. So when it's at its best, it becomes definitely a whole greater than the sum of the parts.
That's cool. That is so cool. And it's cool to have to be able to use those tools, you know what I mean, if you need to, or somebody comes to you for help,
yes,
or whatnot, on a project.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Bring in muscle on a job, so to speak. That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Now,
yeah,
speaking
of... That's the whole thing, you know? It's like in Nashville, it's all about co-writing. You know, you'll see, you know, 10 co-writers on the same song. That's like what you're talking about on steroids, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely, and you're right. It's interesting. Since doing the show, and I've been doing the show a couple of years, I've learned so much about the music business, which I find fascinating. To me, being an outsider on it, it's very glamorous. You know, it's like, oh, you know, this is cool. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I know, to somebody like you, it's like a Tuesday. You know, but one of the interesting things I have noticed, like you say, I hate to say this, and I don't want people to think I'm trying to pigeonhole Nashville into one genre of music. It's definitely not. Nashville's a very urban, cool place. All kinds of cool things happen in Nashville.
Oh,
always.
Yeah, there's everything.
But what I have noticed, something that a lot of the country folk, the country and western people, country music people, and have in common with the hip-hop people from, like, L.A. or wherever that I've come across, is they love collaboration, which is smart because you get, you know, more people listening to your music and this and that. They are all about that. They are on it.
Yeah, that's an interesting parallel, you know. There's definitely – same thing on a hip-hop track. You'll see 8-10 co-writers, because I think the spirit I think the spirit of hip-hop is collaboration, even just the virtue of, like, you know, you might have, if it's a group or – you have multiple MCs, you know, each MC taking like a different verse, and then there's the production side of it. I think country music is the same way, because, you know, those are the two genres that are on the radio the most. It's all about generating hits.
Mm-hmm.
And people go in and gotta come up with like hits fast, you know, at least in the big pop commercial world, you know? So I think that also fuels it, because, you know, if you get the right tune in country or hip hop, that probably has the broadest appeal nowadays on like commercial radio, you know?
Oh yeah.
And so a lot of people chasing that gold, kind of, you know, in a good way, you know, but I think there are people who go to Nashville just with the intention of being a songwriter and trying to break into that mold. But then there's a whole other, there's everything there now. I mean, it's really become the hub of the business. And, you know, just go, I've been down there a bunch of times to play, to do gigs or just to hang and check stuff out. And it's definitely it's vibrant. I mean, there's so much going on there, and well beyond country music, you know.
Absolutely, I'm always amazed every time I go to Nashville on work or whatnot. I'm amazed because I'll get there and I'll always see, you know, 15 cranes on the horizon, you know, doing they're building. Money is being spent.
Oh yeah.
As a painter, that perks my ears up. You know, like, look at all these walls going up. I like this.
Right?
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Now, you mentioned music resonating with people. And one of the things, your new single, first off, you have a new single, which is the first single off your new album, which is out now, right? And we're going to play this single, Lifeline. Definitely resonates and definitely is apropos for the times we are living in, man. It is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Thank you.
Should we talk a little bit about it? Should we play it first? Or what do you think?
It's up to you. We can talk a little, and then I'll give a little backdrop on maybe before you start it. That's
absolutely.
A tune that was a really important track for me. That was kind of I mean, every track on the album was very purposeful in its intention. There's a few songs that are more on the political, social commentary. A few songs are more personal. But I feel like once that tune came together, it felt like it would be the first single. And that song is just about, like I was saying earlier when we were talking about, you know, the different angles that you get into songwriting. Like, for me, sometimes the best songs are the ones that are cathartic in the sense that, like, I'm upset or just frustrated or just feeling hopeless about something. And if I could channel that into a song, that's actually almost a therapeutic thing. And that song was really about just that, just dealing with the political, societal turmoil that's going on right now. And just day in, day in, out, you know, be feeling frustrated, feeling hopeless and angry. And I thought, well, maybe there's a way to, you know, maybe there's a way to channel that into this song. Because I sort of had the basic hook idea, just a cappella. I was just banging a drum beat out on the table. And I sort of had just the basic hook melodic idea. And right away, the spirit of the song felt like, okay, this is a song that I can get into this kind of like, you know, commenting on what's happening, but trying to be hopeful about it. The whole song is about trying to feel some kind of hopefulness and some kind of solidarity in all this. And then sort of one sub-influence, like that was the overarching thing, but the line Good Trouble in the first verse, you know, won't come easy, but it's worth some good trouble, which then became, I took the title for the album from that, was directly inspired by Congressman John Lewis, you know, civil rights hero, and now congressman from GA5. Just he uses that term a lot. I've heard that term used in other contexts, but I always think of him when I think of that term. And I mean, his thing is like, you know, the fight for equality, the fight for social justice, for racial equality, you know, for social equality, for economic equality.
Absolutely.
The fight for those things is a lifelong pursuit, and he's like a manifestation of that. He's a living, breathing example of someone who's been in that fight since he was a young man and is still there doing it in Congress, you know, going all the way back to the civil rights movement. And he talks about good trouble. You know, it's like sort of like you need to be willing sometimes to speak out. You need to be willing to face some pushback and some confrontation in the name of having the courage to speak out for what's right, what you believe in. So that was kind of the genesis of that song. Once I kind of had that spirit, though, that song just came together. I mean, I pretty much wrote it a cappella, and then, you know, we eventually went when we recorded and put the instrumentation to it. But there isn't even that much instrumentation. It was meant to be kind of skeletal, so, and kind of keep the instruments out of the way for the most part, basically just the vocal and the beat to try to convey that message, that sort of thing that started like as a cathartic kind of thing for me. And it seems like, you know, it's having that kind of impact on people who hear it too, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is a fantastic track, and the video is really cool for it too. You know, I'm right there, man. And what the cool thing, when I heard this track, I'm like, here's somebody who, I'm not alone out here. I'm not alone.
Right.
And you're just going nutso watching this shit. You know what I mean? It's
right.
I'm telling you, I am telling you, my fiance, my girlfriend at the time though, she, you know, she had to sit me down after all this stuff started. And she's like, you are not fun to be around right now. You know, you're watching too much TV. You need to take a break. You know, it's too much.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool. And if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart. Be like me. Get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
And I thought about it, you know. I was upset at her the first one she told me that.
You can't tune it out.
So much.
Right? I mean, like, you know, it's like it's overwhelming. But at times you have to take a step back and say, because I'll spend time on Twitter and I'm just like fuming after that. You know, it's like it has a physiological effect on you after a while. And I've been someone who's been, you know, outspoken politically for a long time, especially the last few years. And, you know, I was writing a lot of, like, you know, Facebook and Instagram rants. And, you know, just kind of, I like, I'm alongside music, I like just writing, and I like writing about politics. But, you know, I started writing these political pieces, and for a lot of my fans, it resonated, and they actually really appreciated that I was doing it. But then I also got pushback from some fans that I came to find I have who are Trump supporters, you know. And
right.
That was an interesting thing. You know, I saw firsthand, like, some people got really upset with me for speaking out about, you know, what his administration is doing. And that's been an interesting experience. And eventually I thought, okay, I can't only just be ranting about this online. Like, let me – before I made the album, I felt like, you know, I need to address this in a more – in a musical way, but like in a musical context, but in a way that's maybe a little more constructive, that's a little more hopeful, hopefully, at least in that song, I felt like that's what it's about. Because at some point, we got to find some way past the, like, as hard as it is possible.
We do.
Past the anger,
yeah.
You know? There's got to be something beyond that. But it's hard not to be, you know, consumed by that. But that was a real goal for the record, was to show the political and the personal. And I got to give props to my co-producer on the album, Darius Amendola, and he worked with me on my previous few EPs. You know, once the songs were together, we also had a vision musically of how we wanted to present the songs, you know. But that song was really a defining one, I think, you know. And it's cool to hear you say that. That's what people have been saying to me since the song has been out there, that they find some meaning or they find some connection through that. And that's kind of what I was talking about before. It's like, that's really important to me, is like, can people latch onto this and find some kind of connection? That's huge for me, you know?
No, that's very true. And it's easy to do when you hear the song and or see the video or both. And again, folks, the whole album's out and whatnot, and the single's out as well. We have links to both and all of Mutlu's social media and his website and all that, Spotify, everything up there. Well, let's play the track. This is Lifeline.
Cool.
This is fantastic. Check this out, everybody. You're really going to dig it. Here it is.
Someday from the village to the city, hating each other, and you know it's pity. We need a lifeline before we drown. A lifeline before we drown. Saying a prayer for a better tomorrow. So much
Track. I told you guys that's such a good track. That's Lifeline by Mötley. Really, really good track. And that's off the brand new album, Good Trouble.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, before I forget, I'm at your website right now, and I'm looking at the cover art. We were talking a little bit off mic about different mediums and whatnot, and me being a visual artist and you being a musician.
I got to say, your album cover, I love. I don't know who came up with the design. Fantastic.
That was designed by Billy Myers at Bon Skull Media. He's actually in Florida. He's in Orlando. Myers, Bon Skull, a very talented guy. And he's also a musician, too, actually. He has a band called Glorious Rebellion, but he does he's a very talented artist and graphic designer. He's actually done a few different things for me, but he came up with that with that cover art, and I really felt like it captured sort of the energy or the spirit of the album.
Yeah.
It's simple, but there's something that kind of pulls you in about it, you know. So yeah, he did a great job.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Now, as I said, I'm at your website, and I've scrolled down a little bit. You've got some upcoming shows and whatnot. You're working all through the month of September, and you're going.
Yeah.
We'll get to this. But you got a big trip coming up on touring, right?
This past month was sort of the bigger, like I was out pretty much all of August. So that was kind of the bigger part of the tour, I guess. I mean, we hit a bunch of cities, Boston, New York, Western Mass, Atlanta, Knoxville, Nashville, Durham, a few other places. But so this is kind of sort of the home stretch, I guess. But definitely some fun shows coming up, I'm going to be playing in Philly, going to be playing at Daryl's House, which is Daryl Hall's venue, great venue in upstate New York. I'm going to be opening for Hall & Oates in Little Rock at the Verizon Arena there. And then that's going to be fun. I'm excited for that.
Absolutely. And then you're off to Amsterdam. Wow.
Yep. That kind of wraps it up because we had so the record came like early August. We sort of set up all the dates around the album like for August, September. So figured that was sort of the perfect way to tie it all up, you know. At least the initial tour, you know. That's a good way to finish it.
Very, very cool. Well, that sounds like a hell of a time, man. That's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to Mötley's, is his website, and you scroll down, you can get tickets, you can RSVP, all that. I suggest on some of these, get your tickets now while you can.
I'm telling you that
yes, indeed.
That Hall & Oates concert will sell out. If you lose on that, you'll lose.
Yeah, they're pretty much all their shows sell out, and I've worked with them for years now. This is the first show I've done with them in a little while, but I've opened a lot of tour dates for them in the past all across the country. I've collaborated with them. You know, John Oates co-wrote and features on a track on the new album, and I've been on Daryl's show a few times. It's always an honor to get to work for them. They're like among my musical heroes, you know. So that's like
absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's royalty right there, man.
Absolutely.
That's cool. Especially for a Philly guy, you know what I mean? No doubt.
That's like the Philly connection. And when I first met them, I first met them through T-Bone Walk, who is the producer of my debut album, Living It. He sadly passed away a number of years ago, but he was a great guy, incredible musician, longtime member of the Hall & Oates band. That's how I met Daryl and John. And that was the first, like right away when I met those guys, first Daryl and then John, that the Philly connection was deep. I mean, that's always been sort of a cornerstone sort of for us, because like that Philly sound, just there's something about the Philly sound and vibe that that does connect you to other artists. Same thing with my good friend Amos Lee. You know, there's like sort of a kinship among Philly artists, and those are the guys I've worked with the most for years now. I mean, opening shows all across the country and with Amos in Europe too. Just from being out with those guys, with Hall & Oates, with Amos, that's been such a learning experience. And you know, it's huge exposure too. So it's facilitated the opportunity for me to go out and tour on my own. I'm very, very grateful for that. But the Philly connection is deep there, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, it's so cool. And, you know, things are just moving right along for you. And, you know, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, you know.
Thank you.
So good. Absolutely. And I'm sure, let me ask you this, because I'm sure in the position you're in, you know, you're working with these great people and you're putting out albums and videos and stuff. And you got a lot more videos on your website too, ladies and gentlemen.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Now, you probably get a lot of people that are, you know, where you were 10 years ago or when, however long it was, when you were kind of getting your engines going and whatnot.
Yep.
What's the biggest piece of advice you would give a young you, I guess? You know, or somebody new wanting to be where you are now?
That's a great question. I would say a few things I would say, because it's just such a hard business. I mean, you never feel like you've made it. I know even people who are hugely successful, you know, the music business, entertainment business can be tough. It can be fickle. It can be fair weather.
Oh,
people
yeah.
become stars. They decline for a while, then they come back, and it ebbs and flows. So no matter where you are, one thing I learned from my own experience and even working from, you know, more established artists is, like, you know, stay connected to the music. Like, that might sound like a cliche, but I think, you know, the music business itself can be treacherous. So I think you have to always find a way to connect to that just joy of performing, writing, because it can threaten to take away your enjoyment of that. The business can sometimes, you know, and you've got to find a way at moments to insulate yourself from that and just reconnect to the creativity. And whenever you get too far from that, you know, you can get led astray. So, and the other part of it is you got to have a thick skin. You know, not everybody's going to get what you do or dig what you do. You got to kind of, like, you got to just roll with the punches. You know, it's a hard business. And I think that's the thing, is to somehow always connect to your love and your joy of doing it, and just realize that it's never going to be easy. You know, even for people who,
right.
you know, have made it, it's never easy. It's never easy. It's a hard business to be in. But the best part of it is getting to perform and connect with people. So there's a lot of silver linings within it. Once you get past the difficulties of it, you know, there's a lot of redeeming qualities of it and to it. And you just got to, I think, stay connected to that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's great advice. And that's something that a lot of people, I mean, it takes experience, you know, it's, you work with, in any creative field, you know. And I think that's what one of the things that makes it difficult sometimes is because, you know, you're trying to say something, you're trying to express yourself or whatnot. You work real hard, you know, on a song or whatever. And, yeah, somebody's like, oh, I don't know, man, don't quit your day job. you know, or the lovely one, you've got something to fall back on. I remember hearing that when I just got out of college, and I was like, oh, this may not go good at all, you know.
No,
but you're right.
I mean, it's so hard because, you got to have that thick skin. And it's like, at the end of the day, there's going to be always going to be naysayers. I mean, that's the part that you have to somehow tune out and not let it get you. And when you're first starting, that can be tough because there are people in the music business who, if you don't have experience with it, if you have some talent, there are people who will prey on that and try to use you and manipulate you, and who will just as easily turn on you if you don't protect yourself. So that's you know, I went through a whole thing with having a label deal, and you know, there were some great people there, but ultimately the label got bought out and people got fired, and I went through that whole classic label experience where there's good people, there's good attention, and then there's this corporate element that comes in, and you realize that takes precedence over everything. It's not about you as the artist. It's just about money, you know? And that's not just the people, that's just not the artist. The people who work at the labels fall victim to that too. But that was a learning experience to me, that the corporate music business is, it can be very treacherous. And even if you get a shot there or you get a break there, the bottom can always fall out. And it's changed a lot. That was like that, you know, I got a deal kind of early on. And had that experience early on. It's changed a lot now. Now I think there's so many ways you can have a career and make a living and be independent. And you know what? Here's another thing. There is an element of just pure luck that comes into all of this. And anyone who says that's not the case is not being honest. I mean, you create the situations to be lucky by being out there and doing good work and doing your thing, but there is a thing of luck and timing. Let's call it maybe timing, not luck, you know, but you know, to get the opportunities at certain points they come to some people more than they do to others. And there's some incredible people that I know who eventually gave up on music because they weren't able to make enough of a living out of it or for whatever other life reasons. You know, it's not a fair business. Show business isn't fair, you know? So if you do get the breaks, when they do come, you got to try to maximize them. You know, it's like life in general, you know, it's like you just do play the best you can with the cards you're dealt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, one of the tricks I learned, early on, well, it took a little time, but, you know, now I love it when I get some blowback or some naysayers. Okay. Sometimes I need that. I'm like, man, I need some rocket fuel. Hmm. Somebody needs to tell me I can't do this, you know, just so I can prove them wrong.
That's interesting, actually. If you can turn that into a positive, and I know, I mean, your medium is even tougher in some ways because you don't always, like music, you go out and perform, you get like immediate feedback sort of in a way, you know, but with the visual arts, it can be tough sometimes because you're more in a more solitary place with it. And then like, that's interesting to hear that. Okay. Yeah. Like you want the challenge. So just to prove people wrong, that's a good way to look at it. Actually, that's, if you can turn that like, push back into inspiration, that's magic right there. That's valuable, you know?
Well, you know, and if you can't, you can always cut your ear off. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, right.
Messages. Well, it's so cool. And, you know, Matlu, I want to tell you, you already know this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because in case you haven't heard it today. And keep doing what you're doing, man. You're so, so good at it. I know you're wrapping up the tour, the support of your new album and whatnot. And, you know, you've been working real hard. Good Trouble, the new album. I have to ask, though, I've got you on the horn. Are the gears turning for the next project? Are you going to take a little break for a little bit? Let this one simmer on the stove.
They're always turning, you know. Like, I always have some rough ideas, you know, of like maybe there's always bits and pieces of songs. So yeah, as it gets into the winter, I mean, I'll still probably get out and play more shows after this tour a little bit in the winter, and then especially next spring and summer, but probably during the winter when there's some downtime, I'll already start thinking about the next set of tunes. And you know, one thing I took from this record more than I'd done previously was I really had like a very purposeful push for every single song. Like I felt every song had a very unique place on the album, and I felt they all fit together in a way. There's a certain arc to it. So I feel like that in the past, I'd maybe just write tunes and I compile tunes and put them and record, you know. But I think I learned from this one that, you know, there's a way to be a little more conceptual in what you're looking for as the songs come together. So that actually kind of like excites me to try to come up with the next batch of tunes kind of more through that kind of framework.
I totally hear. I get it, man. I get it, because I've done art shows like that where somebody will, you know, and people, it's happened. Galleries will call you or whatever. In my case, usually what happens in my case is somebody drops out and they're like, well, we need 30 paintings real quick. Who can we call?
Oh, wow.
That has happened many times. But, you know, and you'll put together this hodgepodge of, you know, and usually in my case, I'm real lucky to have the problem of I never have 30 paintings sitting around. You know, I might have four because they sell.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just never have that backstop. But I work hard to sell that stuff. But anyway, you know, I hate putting those hodgepodge shows together where you just, you know, just do a bunch of stuff that doesn't fit together. When you have a theme, when I'm telling a story, when I'm playing a movie or playing an album with my art show, you know, where the viewer to come in and there's that arc. You're saying something with the whole thing, you know. That is much more satisfying to me as an artist than just throwing stuff on a wall, you know.
No,
that's
absolutely.
Just me though, you know. But I get what you're saying.
That's an inspiring thing to have, to give yourself a context, something that pulls it all together. I agree with you 100%. When it's just a hodgepodge, it's not the same. It makes it so much more meaningful when you have an overarching sort of vision to the whole thing that sort of – it kind of drives you creatively. I don't know if you find that to be the case, but it ties it all together.
Absolutely.
In a really cool way. You know?
Absolutely. And I get very grumpy to be around trying to come up with it and or come up with the paintings actually to match the – you know, I'm not fun to be around for – a week or two beforehand. But I'm working. Exactly.
Danny, my gal, she just said, go in the workshop, close the door. I don't want to be around you right now. She knows, you know. She's a keeper.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta go through the pits of hell to, you know, to kind of see the light of day on the other end, you know? You gotta go through that.
Absolutely. Well, the cool thing is now I can, to help me do that, I can put on, you know, Good Trouble and be inspired
there
and just ride the wave, you know.
Soundtrack there. Right on, man.
I'm telling you. No, Good Trouble's out where everybody buys their favorite digital music, right? They can pick it up on Amazon,
yes,
Spotify,
everywhere.
Google Play.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep, all the major
cool.
streaming down. It's everywhere and anywhere. It's out there.
Nice. We will be putting, you know, after every show, when I do the post-production work and the episode, put in the commercials and whatnot, I do it here
mm-hmm.
in the studio, and I always put on my social media usually a video. I love having musicians on because I can put one of their videos, and I've been pushing Lifeline, but we're definitely going to be playing that on our blog, and
nice.
I always post it after the show, so that'll be today's post. Very cool. Well, I had so much fun having you on. Thank you so much, Lulu, for being on the show.
This was great, man. Great conversation. You know, thank you for having me on. It was cool to have a conversation, with from two different artistic mediums. You know, see the connections and the variances. But this was really great, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to have you on again, for the next project and whatnot. Very, very
awesome.
Cool. Hey, break a leg at these upcoming shows and whatnot, too. You know, safe travels
so
to
much,
Amsterdam. Very cool. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today, folks. We appreciate you listening and whatnot. And we will be back tomorrow. I'll be talking to a filmmaker who is very interesting film. I watched it the other night because, I had a lot of time this weekend. And this is called Empathy Incorporated. And it's kind of a science fiction. These people have this virtual reality thing that kind of goes. It reminded me a little bit of that old classic sci-fi movie Brainstorm. The guy gets kind of stuck in this VR. Well, I don't want to give too much away, but. Anyway, we have the director and the writer director on that tomorrow, and so be sure to tune in. That's tomorrow afternoon as well. That'll be a lot of fun, and definitely we have links up to Mutlu's all of his social media and website and whatnot, and those links do follow the podcast. So if you're listening to the podcast on one of the podcasting platforms or something, there'll be a link there. So just click on that, get over to his website, check it out. Check out all the cool videos over there, man. It's an awesome website. Very, very cool. We will see you tomorrow. Again, Mutlu, thank you so much for being on the show. You're awesome.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, man. It was great.
Anytime. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Talk to you soon, man. Thanks.
Well, there we go, folks. Very, very cool. This show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed on all the various social media platforms. And while we're even on Pinterest, how about that? You can listen to the show and figure out how to make, something for your backyard out of a pallet. Now, you could do that if you wanted to. I'm not admitting that I may or may not have done that before. But we're also on all the podcasting platforms. We're just shy of 200 right now. Amazing. How cool is that? But the big one, of course, is Apple Podcasts. So if you are listening to the show in the future on Apple Podcasts, do me a favor. It only takes a minute. Hit that ratings and review. That keeps us up at the top of the page, and boy, is my life easier when that's the case when I'm talking to advertisers. So I really appreciate that, and we've got some new advertising coming up. I've got to, I don't know when I'm going to, we'll figure it out. We got to record some new spots for upcoming advertisers, so I'll be on that maybe later today. We will talk to you later, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks, the Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.